Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're going to be talking with Todd Jex, Agri agronomist and technical advisor, regenerative farming. Todd was winner of the 2023 Farmers Weekly Arable Advisor of the Year. And we are also joined by farmer and contractor George Fraser of A&R Fraser, who were finalists in the British Farming Awards 2023 Contractor of the Year. According to government data, rainfall for the southwest in the past 6 months is 149% of the reference period 1961 to 1990. In the east of England, that data is 166%. With that in mind, we are going to explore repairing soil structure to optimise autumn establishment. Todd, where do we start with this season and just how difficult it's been for farmers and agronomists across the UK?
Well, I think unprecedented is the word I'd use to describe it because it's not something I can ever recall seeing before. The 2012 autumn was memorably challenging, but it does seem, at least locally to me, that it's even more challenging here. There's more fallow acres than I've ever seen before, and I've plenty of situations with farmers where we're probably on cropping Mark 4, if not Mark 5 now, so incredibly challenging.
And George, how is your farm looking? And actually, maybe you could start us off by just sharing a little bit about where you're farming.
Yeah, hi, Tony. So, we're farming predominantly in Wiltshire and Dorset. We're quite heavy on winter wheat this year, which has actually been quite fortunate for us. We've got crops established pretty well, being no-till we do get going quite early. Winter wheat was established well heading into the winter. And it's coped with the wet weather quite well, actually. I'm quite pleased with how things are looking. Obviously, coming into the spring, there is challenges. Timings are going to be quite tricky. Overall, not too bad. We have had to adapt our cropping plans a bit throughout the winter. Overall, challenging, but not too bad.
Todd, where do we start to think about what the impact is of that heavy, constant rain throughout the autumn? How is it going to affect our fields, our soils and our crops?
Well, I think there's obviously a range of different situations out there. There are some good looking crops, although the fact that there was so much moisture left over from the very wet year that was last year, that crops generally, even those that were established well early, like George was describing, generally don't have the deepest of root systems. There's been no requirement for the crops to put any effort into vertical rooting because of that. So we remain in a vulnerable scenario to a drought in the spring. I know that sounds ridiculous to talk about a drought after all that's gone before, but we've seen it before how quickly the weather can turn around. But yeah, I think we're going to have to consider every individual situation on its own merits. We've got good crops. Okay, they're shallow rooted, but we have got some good crops well established, but we've also got some very poor crops, and we've also got fallow ground now that will probably remain fallow until next summer. So it's going to be a case by case example of trying to make an assessment of where we are and then look at where we go in the autumn to make sure we give the new crop this coming autumn the best chance of success.
Sure. And George, I don't know your farm, but how much time have you been investing in building that soil health over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a cornerstone of our farming really for the last 6 to 7 years, just trying to build some resilience. We've got a lot of soil types from sand, clay, chalk loams. Each farm has different challenges, but building that resilience really has been our goal.
And do you feel that improved soil resilience has made a difference following this autumn's weather?
Yeah, I think so. I think it sort of proved itself this year, really. We've been able to get on ground and travel ground, which is historically wet, tricky ground that you just can't get on. We've been able to get on and apply fertiliser and sprays and insecticides or anything throughout the season, really. We haven't really been hampered too badly, so yeah, the trafficability of the ground really has aided us.
Now that sounds very good, George. Todd, thinking about these soils, soil health and resilience, what do you expect to be the impact of the prolonged heavy rain throughout the autumn?
Well, the fact it's been so prolonged and so extreme, I think if you look at soil health and its three constituent parts or makeup, being the biological side, the physical side of it, and the chemical side of it, and we can take each of those three and look at them differently. From a biological point of view, some of those soils will have been in anaerobic situation now for quite some time. I've seen, even got some farms myself that I'm responsible for looking after, that we've probably had lying water on fields now for in excess of 6 months. It's quite extraordinary. And that would have created anaerobic conditions, which would have damaged the soil biology, so that particularly the fungi would have struggled with that. We've had no living plant material on those fields either. So those symbiotic species of fungi, those mycorrhizal fungi in particular, would have, the number of them surviving the soil would have certainly reduced. So from a biological point of view, yes, it's not going to be quite as healthy perhaps as where it was. From a physical point of view, it's probably the most obvious bit. It's the easiest bit to see for everybody. So we've got compaction on heavier ground. I think the wet time we had last year meant lots of the passes we were doing were putting in compaction, whether that was with, it might have been confined to the tram lines for much of the year. But then, of course, we got to harvest. We've got combines to move around, grain traders, people are baling straw. More than in an average year, I think compaction was put in at a depth last year on the medium and heavier soils. We've seen some of the lighter soils slumping and capping with just the sheer volume of rain upon the surface, especially if they were left for a period of time without any cover to help shield the soils. So that's been a feature. There were some very good cover crops that got established early. They grew on quite nicely if they went in early enough. But some of those that were grazed, of course, the traffic of livestock going across those has put in surface compaction. So even some of those that were shielded from a crop point of view have actually still got damage that will need rectifying. And then if you moved on to a chemical point of view, obviously everyone's very aware of nitrate leaching and the potential to lose nitrogen from the field being a negatively charged anion, but also sulfates will have leached, boron's quite leachable as well. Although it doesn't leach phosphorus, you've got to wonder about phosphorus availability in some of these poorly structured soils now and with the shallow rooting of the crops. And I'd also say, although it's not true for the chalkland, of course, but some of the more lighter and medium soils that the pH is sort of closer to neutral but requires regular or semi-regular applications of lime have probably become acidic more quickly than would have been expected through loss of calcium. So generally, when you get large periods of rainfall over a long time, generally the acidity of the soil changes at a faster rate. So that would be a concern. So if farmers have put lime on within 2 years and they're not expecting to have to need to for until the 4 years is up, I'd be out just doing some spot checks on those just to see where they are. You might be surprised how quickly that pH has actually started to drop back again.
George, listening to Todd's remarks there, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns for your farm?
Yeah, moving forward, it's going to be an impact there. And I guess really putting that right for us being winter-based cropping now, we'll start at harvest. So yeah, we need to make sure we're planning and having plans in place and put that right after harvest, really.
And Todd, you know, there's been a lot of talk this autumn about cover crops and SFI qualifying crops. What are your views? What's the value of those agronomically as well?
Well, I think it's really important with the loss of BPS for all farmers to try and recoup as much money as they're able to do from the schemes that are available, and some of them are quite useful for those that are trying to transition their systems, there's no doubts, and to support when commodity prices of course are lower. But yeah, as you say, there's some of those options, particularly things like the companion cropping or the multi-species cover crop, give us the opportunity to do some real good at the same time as producing a profitable arable crop.
And Todd, what other opportunities could be really useful for the farm business this coming season, such as catch crops, etc.? What are your thoughts?
I guess, again, that's going to depend on where you are. So if you're in a situation where you've got to crop in the ground and it's established reasonably well, it's a case of making the best of that now and getting that to harvest as best you can and producing getting the best possible return you can on that. But for those that are in the situation where they've not been able to get a crop in and they're not now going to be able to because the ground is that wet, it's not going to dry out in time, there is, as you say, an opportunity there to do something positive around it's probably going to be end up in reality more of a cover crop than a catch crop, because if you were to be planting it within the next month and it's not due to go anything till the winter, it's going to be there for a good 3 or 4 months. So there's the chance to pick species that are going to assist you in doing some of that repair work, although I think a lot of these soils may actually require mechanical intervention through low disturbance subsoils or subsoils to correct some of these problems. There's the opportunity to do some work more shallowly with cover crop mixes.
To talk with the experts, you can meet us on the Agri Stand at this year's Groundswell event on the 26th and 27th of June, where agri agronomists and weaving machinery will be on hand to discuss the season's challenges and share their advice. And George, for your farm, how useful could cover crops and catch crops be for this coming spring?
Yeah, I think this spring we've only got a couple of fields really that aren't cropped, but yeah, certainly we'll get catch crops in there. And yeah, it does pose us a few different scenarios, isn't it, as far as cropping goes. You know, some of these crops might now not be destined to go into a spring crop next year. So we've got a long period of fallow. So any crop we're looking to plant in the next month would really, as far as a cover crop goes, go through its life cycle. So it's not really going to last until next spring. So for us, it's do we have a catch crop and then go with a cover crop, or do we wait and hold on and put a cover crop in? So yeah, I think it'll be a farm by farm, field by field basis, really.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because of course, you've also got mixed into that as opportunities to do remedial work with a subsoiler, for example, or a drainage in particular scenarios where either moulding or land drainage is required, and not also forgetting the significant issue that is grass weeds and the ability to use that opportunity perhaps to chit and remove a level of that problem.
So thinking about repairing those soils where they have been damaged, Todd, what are the options when it comes to cultivation techniques going forwards?
Well, I think it depends on your system. I think if like George, your system is based around not moving soil, so no-till crops, then I really do think, regardless of the soil type you're on, having a low disturbance subsoil or that type of machine in your fleet of machinery is probably a useful tool. The regularity by which we see these very difficult autumns and springs seems to be increasing. It's difficult to say that with a degree of certainty. It feels like it is, doesn't it? So whether global warming, the effect of that is really starting to affect UK farming now, perhaps it is. I think having the flexibility, it's difficult with the price of machinery, I know, and it's, you know, despite the lack of movement in commodity prices upwards as a general trend, farm machinery, I'm always shocked when farmers tell me how much things cost, and I can hardly believe some of the numbers I hear. But trying to have a level of flexibility like George's business has got, I think, is really important, because every now you do get one of these curveballs thrown at you. And if you were limited to a direct dish drill this autumn, this spring, you would be struggling unless you're on very kind free draining soils, because we all know what's going on out there.
Todd, you talk about the importance of selecting the right cultivation equipment. And I know you've run autumn drilling day events. How useful are those for farmers to attend to be able to look at the different pieces of equipment and share ideas and experiences?
Well, I think that's really important. I think speaking to the farmers that I speak to, I think of them gain a lot of value from discussing with their peers and seeing what's working well for people on farms in a similar area and a similar soil type to those. I think there's definitely some merit in that. And I think sometimes, although we run these events, and I mean, the last one you mentioned, we didn't actually manage to get any wheels turning, sadly, because it was so wet, unfortunately. But in past events, we have managed to get wheels turning, even when it's been less than ideal conditions. And I often think that those events running and machines running when the conditions are less than optimal is probably a good thing, in fact, because when the conditions are perfect and it's sunny and everybody's happy, then everything looks brilliant. I'm not sure you learn as much in those situations as you do for when it's a little bit more challenging.
And George, looking ahead for your farm and the land that you're farming, where's going to be your focus in terms of repairing soils and looking at what you can do differently going forwards, thinking about next autumn?
Yeah, well, I think it probably highlights, especially for us, you know, we've found areas of wet, poor drainage have really been highlighted. So we've been able to use that to see where we can improve things like ditches, whether we mould, just things to help us improve the ground, really. You know, as Todd says, is this going to be the norm to a certain degree? So yeah, I think that's helped us in that regard.
And Todd, what do you think will be the starting point for many farms who are looking at and thinking about how to repair these soils?
Well, I think I think the starting point is George's point. I think if you've got issues, before you try and do anything, I think if you've got major underlying issues, drainage is something that's such a fundamental thing to all fields. I mean, it's not relevant everywhere. Some fields are on chalk and it isn't relevant. But in a year like this, I think it's a really good opportunity to identify areas where serious work needs to happen, whether that's mull draining or whether that's land drainage systems. It's a great opportunity. If you've got access or know someone who's got access to a drone, we use that to great effect and for many different things to get an overall view. But in a year like this year, for seeing where drains might just need some repair, where they're blocked even, is possible. But you're not going to get many better opportunities to explore that and see what needs doing. So I think that's the starting point. It's try and get the drainage right. And then once you've got the drainage sorted or you've got a plan for the drainage, it's then move on to repairing the structure. And you can only repair what you know where the problem is. So to get to that point, I guess it starts with where it always should start with, in my opinion, which is probably a spade and a hole in the ground. What does the soil structure actually look like? How aerated or not is it? Where is the compaction? If there is a layer of compaction, where is that layer of compaction? What depth is that? It's all very well going, grabbing a subsoil or a low disturbance subsoil out of the shed and saying, we're going to run it through it this depth shallow, or we're going to run it through right down to the frame as deep as it will go. But without digging a hole and working out where the issue lies, it's impossible. You're guessing. So you could be either going too deep or too shallow. So get out there with a spade and have a look. You know, it's quite easy as well to, and I know you regularly, George, as well, look at things like VES assessments of the soil. That's easy to do. More and more people now have penetrometers. I think the penetrometer is a marvelous bit of kit. I think that's something that alongside a spade should be sitting in most farmers' trucks going around for checking where we are before drills and machines go into fields. And I think once you've identified where the issues are, then you can use things, cultivators, low disturbance subsoilers to rectify problems. But let's know what the problem is, if there is one, and where that problem is.
And so as we come towards the end of this podcast, what would be your top tips that could help those who are listening today consider where and how to tackle these damaged soils?
Yeah, it's getting all your ducks in a row, really, getting your soil right. Whether that comes back to the right cover crops, catch crops, subsoil, trash management before you drill, controlling slugs. It's just, yeah, really have your eye on the prize, really. And I think we probably do walk crops, walk fields more now than we used to. It used to be very much in a min-till scenario. Generally, each field was similar to the last. You know, you'd go in with your cultivator, you'd go in with your drill. Whereas in a no-till scenario, really each field has to be treated as an individual.
Well, we often talk about attention to detail, don't we? Being so much more critical in a no-till regen system than it is in a plough and min-till based system. The ability for it all to go wrong, I think, is much higher.
And so, Todd, what would be your top tips, your advice and thoughts for those listening in today?
For those people that are lucky enough to have decent looking crops, is look after them, make the most of them. Regular tissue testing is a favourite of mine for making sure you know what's going on from a nutritional point of view. One would like to think and hope that grain prices are only going in one direction with what's going on, but you never know because it's a global market. And for those that are in the horrendous scenario where they're not going to get crops in, then try to make the best of it. I know it's hard to try and put a good slant on that situation, but you know, how many times, how many opportunities are you going to get where you've got a long period of time with no crop in the ground? You know, can you do something about drainage where it's required? Soil structure, what about grass weeds? It's quite often the two go hand in hand, heavy ground and grass weeds. So can we do something positive to soil health from a structural, biological and chemical point of view before the autumn? And can we tackle some of those grass weeds out of a crop and get set up better for this coming autumn would be my advice.
Thank you, George and Todd. Valuable insights and advice indeed on how to approach this season and look to repair soil structure ready for next autumn. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.